It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Jerry Willis.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, February 20th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. It's President's Day, and there were two presidents hanging out on this holiday, American President Joe Biden and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. This is a pretty daring trip by Mr. Biden, but also an important one.
It's a real morale booster. When you talk to people or listen to what people are saying across the country, they really see this as a sacrifice and a real show of support from the U.S. leader.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
It's scary enough to hear air raid sirens blaring in a war zone, but the equation gets so much more dangerous for the world when they're within earshot of the President of the United States. Nevertheless, President Biden was able to sneak into Ukraine on Monday to meet with President Zelensky.
This is so much larger than just Ukraine. It's about freedom and democracy in Europe. It's about freedom and democracy writ large.
And through a translator, Ukrainian President Zelensky thankful for more American aid.
It will serve as a clear signal that Russia's attempts of revanche will have no chance and that we will together defend our cities and citizens from Russia's terror.
But even with this going on, it seems as though this war is far from over as we come up on the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion.
I think there was some suspicion for a lot of people here that he might try and make the trip to Ukraine.
Our guest today is Fox News senior correspondent Steve Harrigan, who's in Kyiv, Ukraine.
We knew he was going to Poland. They didn't announce any other stops, but, you know, we've seen presidents do this before in Afghanistan or Iraq. They try and make a quick in and out. But this is different. There's no U.S. troops on the ground here, and U.S. forces are not controlling the sky either. So this had some more risk. And actually, when Biden came out of the monastery, there were air raid sirens. So I guess if you ask how it was for me, it was pretty unsettling to see the U.S. president in a city which has been attacked and where the air raid sirens were going as he was there.
Can we talk about how the U.S. and Ukraine was able to get the sitting president of the United States secretly into a war zone? I mean, you mentioned the skies aren't controlled by the United States. And there's no U.S. military on the ground there. You can't just fly Air Force One into the airport in Kyiv. How'd they get him there?
Right. And the skies over Ukraine are closed as well. They got them by train and they did keep it quiet. They took a few reporters with them and a very limited staff. So it's remarkable. I mean, it's remarkable for an 80-year-old president to make his way here and to, you know, really perform on the world stage. He was with Zelensky for about 5 hours and promised them another $500 million worth of military equipment. And I think it really made an impression on Ukrainians. I think it's a real morale booster. When you talk to people or listen to what people are saying across the country, they really see this as a sacrifice and a real show of support from the U.S. leader.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question is, how are people on the ground in Kyiv viewing and taking in this visit? I mean, it is really a big deal because it is a war zone. And you have the fact this is the most powerful man in the world. And then you add in the fact that he's 80 years old. It's kind of a leap of faith here.
It really is. And then you throw in the air raid sirens as well. And you see them walking around the downtown streets. It was a beautiful sunny day today, and into the monastery and up and down a lot of stairs. And I think people knew something was up. They've seen a number of world leaders come here, often traveling by train. But the security precautions today were a little different. They really shut down most of the streets for traffic, kept people inside, Ask people to close their windows. People did sort of make their way there on foot as close as they could. They wanted to get a look at the scene out there, especially in front of the monastery.
Steve, from where you were, could you tell if President Biden had any sort of reaction when those air raid sirens came on? Did he appear frightened? Did he appear, did he even notice? Did you get any indication of the president when those sirens went off?
from a few hundred yards away, I couldn't see any reaction from either the president or his team. I think they were inside the monastery when they began. Then they came out. I mean, air raids are pretty common in Kyiv. They're often for different reasons. They don't always mean there's a rocket incoming. They can mean that a Russian MiG took off, say, from Belarus and could fire a missile. So most people do ignore the air raid sirens. And today it seemed as if the president of the United States did as well.
All right. So let's get into the business of why President Biden was there. You mentioned providing some weaponry to Ukraine, $500 million more. A lot of this has to do with ammunition. Any talk about the fighter jets, though, that President Zelensky of Ukraine has asked for repeatedly?
I think we might see more details. And we didn't hear anything about fighter jets. What we did hear about was artillery and radar systems to protect the infrastructure of Ukraine. And I think it could be important if some of those artillery pieces are more longer range. That's been something Ukraine has pushed for, and it's something that's really made a difference on the battlefield. You know, we've seen an incremental increase in requests from Ukraine and a response from the West as well, denying tanks and then giving tanks. And now the request is for jets. I think it's easy to go too far and think, you know, F-16s would be a magic bullet to change this war. I'm not sure that they would be, but certainly the artillery has had a major effect. It's pushed Russian lines and supply lines back, and their accuracy has been very lethal for the Ukrainians.
We're speaking with Fox News senior correspondent Steve Harrigan. He's in Kyiv, Ukraine. As we approach 1 year of this war, that mark will be on Friday, Steve. And I want to just kind of take a look at where we are in this war. We've been hearing more and more about some sort of Russian offensive coming in the spring when the weather warms up there, and then that Ukraine would have their own offensive. Do you think that's already happening right now?
I think it is already happening, and I think it's just incremental. As far as gains go, there has been a tremendous level of assault and attacks from the Russian side in the east. They're using artillery and they're using waves of soldiers, some of them poorly trained, some of them simply convicts let out of prison to fight. But they are throwing wave after wave at the Ukrainians, and they've, you know, just gaining yards a day. I think there was huge pressure from President Putin to have a victory, to be able to declare something in the field at this one-year anniversary. It's centered perhaps around the town of Bakhmut in the east, but so far neither side can claim control of that city at this point.
Welcome to Ukraine, Mr. Biden. Today we're covering a secret trip that President Biden took to the capital of Ukraine for an in-person show of support to the Ukrainian people who are still engaged in this terrible war with Russia. Fox's Steve Harrigan is there in Kyiv, where the president showed up on Monday. We have more on this war and how the president was received in Ukraine coming up next. Speaking of President Putin, he is set to make a major address in front of his nation. The expectation here is he's going to set out Russia's goals for the second year of this war. Any indication that there could be some sort of pullback, Steve, or is Russia continuing to be all in on this thing that so far a year in looks like a stalemate?
I think Russia is all in, and I think Putin is all in. He's getting very little resistance from his population. His economy has fared stronger than expected. Sanctions have not hit as hard as expected. Many Russians can, you know, try and ignore the war and go on with their lives. The battlefield, the death, the killing is here in Ukraine. Russia has lost a tremendous amount of soldiers, perhaps is more than well over 100,000 casualties, killed and wounded. But, you know, they are so far not actively resisting. And of course, the penalty for resistance in Russia is severe.
Right. And it's severe in China also. It seems like they're getting into the mix. We're learning that the Chinese foreign policy top advisor is going to be in Moscow this week. It's the first visit of the country. What is it going to mean for this whole conflict if China in some way gets involved, possibly even helping Russia or even supplying them with weapons or supplies?
Yeah, we've heard several warnings from U.S. officials, including the Secretary of State, over and over again warning China not to supply lethal aid. They've been supplying things like bulletproof vests or GPS intelligence. But if China starts supplying Russia with ammunition and with weapons, this is already an incredibly destructive and deadly war. And this would just ratchet it up an entire another level. I mean, Zelensky himself said, if China starts helping Russia with arms and ammunition equipment, this will be World War III. So it's a terrifying prospect if China does get involved actively supplying lethal aid to Russia.
Definitely a scary thought, but it's something that is possibly on the table, especially with that visit to Russia by the Chinese foreign minister. Steve, we're a year into this war. It has been horrific beyond belief. They're investigating possible war crimes. So many innocent people have been caught up in this. It's like daily there's some other terrible story to come out of Ukraine. From where you sit in the capital of Kyiv, after a year of war, what is the feeling for people who are there? Are they optimistic that they're going to win? Are they sick of this war? Are they holding tough? How are people feeling?
I think they're determined. I think they really know their enemy. They've seen their enemy and what their enemy is willing to do. This is a total war on behalf of Russia. They're trying to break the will of the people. They're trying to destroy electricity. They are hitting apartment buildings. They're hitting shelters. They're hitting hospitals. So they know who they're up against. And I think it's been met with a real determination, not just by young men, but by all sectors of society, people doing what they can, going to the front or preparing, making things for soldiers who are at the front. I think this is a nation that is in a life or death situation. It's an existence situation for Ukraine. And I think, you know, the overwhelming majority of people I see are determined and ready to put their lives on the line for their nation.
Really feels like that's been the Ukrainian attitude since day one. It's nice to know that 360-something days later, they're still feeling the same way. And Steve Harrigan, Fox News senior correspondent, reporting from Kyiv, Ukraine. Steve, stay safe, and thanks for being with us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thank you. Good to speak with you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.